Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Education. It ought to inspire, right? I know sometimes we've got projects that we don't always love to do, but education ought to be inspirational. Code Girls United has kind of found that key a little bit, taking STEM programs and turning that into, well, real-world experience. And this is what our next generation of innovators are. They're going to come from programs like this. You create apps, you tackle real community problems. So we're going to talk about Code Girls United. We have an education program today, but also we're going to throw in Montana Robotics. There are students all across the state of Montana that are competing with the robots that put their STEM skills to test. Yes, what will tomorrow's world look like? Let's talk with those who will take us there today on Voices of Montana. Why does it matter? Nationally, only about 28% of the STEM workforce is female. And women represent less than 20% of computer science graduates. So a little while ago, this was 2016, and there were a couple of folks, Marianne Smith is among them, that said, you know what, let's get some folks united in getting coding and STEM education, real applications for these to our youngsters. And what a brilliant idea it is. A bit later on, we'll talk robotics, but I'm so excited again to have Code Girls United on the program and some of the participants as well. Let's welcome the executive director, co-founder. You go back to 2016, Marianne Smith. Good morning, Marianne. How are you?
I'm great, Tom. How are you doing? And thank you so much for having us on the show this morning.
Well, it's almost too much fun. It really is to have you guys here. Let's say hello to the people who are with us, Harper and Hadley Merriman. They are sisters from Kalispell. And Hadley, I think, 1 year in the program. Harper, a couple of summer camps. Good morning, Harper, Hadley. What? First, Harper, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. And then Hadley.
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good. We're trying to get used to your voice. Thank you so much. You guys are sisters. What's that like? Is it pretty fun sometimes or, you know, sister stuff happens?
Yeah, it's fun, but also sometimes it's kind of frustrating.
The sister stuff. Yeah. Well, you guys will be the closest of friends throughout your entire life. That'll just happen that way. I hope and pray. And then Haley Wiesenhunt from Billings as well. She's a junior leader, several years in the program. Good morning, Haley. How are you?
I'm great. How about you?
I'm hanging in there. Really appreciate you coming along the program. Marianne Smith again. Let's talk about Code Girls United. I think it's such a cool program. And I'm still impressed that you guys started something and then it just took off in Montana. It shows the need, right?
Yeah. From the basement of Sykes Diner in Kalispell, we now serve over 650 girls around the state of Montana a year. And those statistics that you were talking about, in the state of Montana, we finally started keeping track of some computer science information on classes. And only 0.07% of high school girls are taking computer science classes in Montana. So we're really trying to change those numbers and encourage more girls to pursue technology, whether it's in coding or it's in design or it's in project management or in business. You know, a lot of what we do has a focus on taking technology and using it for a real-world application.
What have you seen then since 2016? I mean, 600 girls. Again, I said that speaks to the need. Are you making a dent? I mean, are other states following this? Give us an overall.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I think what we're doing is we're starting to see the results of the original programs where we have girls that are at Montana State focusing on computer science and actually teaching our programs in Bozeman. So we have one gal that's going to be teaching in the engineering building. We have an after-school program, and then we have two other girls one that's teaching in one of the middle schools. So it's coming the full circle to where we are educating girls, and then they're moving into these fields as college majors. So it's really wonderful to see that.
Let me ask Hadley Merriman again, from Kalispell, who's been in the program, maybe not as long as some, but Hadley, why are you in it? What is fun about this? What do you learn as a code girl?
Well, it's fun to watch apps grow over time and hang out with friends, but also there are some challenges.
What about you, Harper? I mean, you've been to like a couple of summer camps, right?
Only one.
Only one. Okay. I'm sorry, but what was that like? What was your experience like? Why are you doing it?
Well, I like making friends and learning how to code. And you get to meet a lot of new people.
Yeah. And Haley, what's your experience been like? Were you interested in science and coding? And then you've got like a couple of years in the program. How is that for you?
I've learned a lot of life skills, such as social skills, public speaking, coding, and technology skills. And some of my favorite moments are just meeting new people and connecting with my teammates. And I've also had some really great instructors and teachers along the way that have helped me grow in my coding skills. And now I want to be a software engineer or like an engineer that does like coding.
That is so cool. And Marianne, I mean, you talk, and we've talked to some of your participants in the past. Again, they win congressional app challenges. They're just out there leading Montana youngsters and female youngsters into STEM sciences and coding. But I always hear them, they like making friends. They like the camaraderie of the program. So that's one. And then number two, they have fun. Like Hadley said, watching these apps grow. I don't know if they're having as much fun as you are doing that, talk about that progress for Harper, Hadley, and Haley today.
Yeah, I think what we've been able to do with the program is really be able to take technology and coding and learning some kind of hard conceptual ideas in computer science and bring it down to earth so that the girls also have this experience where they learn how to work on a team. They learn how to make decisions as a team. They end up making good friends that way. We have girls that have been in the program where they started pretty early on that are still best friends right now. So it's taking, again, you know, they end up working on a community problem. So it's things that they really care about. And that's really the difference is, instead of just taking technology and making some game or doing something, it's taking technology to solve a problem that the girls care about. It's not adults. We're not doing anything. It's what they care about. And I think that makes a big difference. And I think it helps cement those friendships that the girls end up creating out of it.
Marianne Smith, again, executive director and co-founder of Code Girls United. That's Code Girls United, all spelled out, .org. For more information, there's competition. I'll have her talk about how it starts, 4th through 8th graders, but also there's advanced classes. Harper and Hadley Merriman is with us. They're sisters from Kalispell into the program. And Haley Wiesenhunt from Billings. I hope I'm saying that. Was it Wiesenhunt, Haley? I know you told me early. I apologize.
Wiesenhunt?
Yes. Is that how you say your last name right? Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. So Haley, I got you on, what do you care about? As Marianne had said, you get to solve problems that you care about. You know, that takes some thinking, right? And then it takes even, you know, to figure out what you care about. And then it takes even more thinking to figure out how to solve some of those problems. What are you thinking? What is it you care about? What would you like to solve?
So I've been in Code Girls year-round program for 2 years. And so at the, closer after Christmas break, we get into groups, and then we get to design an app we get to take to competition. And so for the first year, our community problem was that there was a lot of homeless animals, and so our app was called Forever Homes, where we gave you information about animals and also, like, wanted to get notice to people that maybe they should think about adopting some of these animals. And then this, like, past year, we did an app called Schedule, and it was all about helping, like, students, mostly, like, middle school and high school-based, help them, like, keep track of all their schoolwork and, like, be able to contact their teachers. And we had, like, some calendars, and it was just kind of to keep students organized.
Wow. Those are real, real issues there. Homeless animals and a scheduling app. Thank you. That's Haley Wiesenhunt again from Billings. Hadley Merriman. Again, I know it takes some thinking to figure out, well, what is a problem that I'd like to address, how it affects me and my friends, and then what can I do about it? When you think about if you're going to write an app, and I know that's what Code Girls, they're all pointing towards some of these practical solutions, what is it that you would like to address?
Last year, we did an app called Therapy Flower that helped people who had mental health issues, and it helped with it.
Cool.
Yeah, helped them.
Therapy Flower. So what did it do?
I guess it helped people. Like, there was one screen where it was like, I had a bad day, but then it would come up with a response like, I'm sorry to hear that. And then it would go to another screen, and it'd give you advice how to make your day better.
Mm. Wow, way cool. I like that one too. Harper, what is it that you're trying to solve?
Well, me and Ashley in summer camp, we invented this app. It would also kind of help pets get adopted. It would just make people see how nice some pets can be. And we had a picture of a tiny dog on one side and a big dog on the other. And we just really wanted more pets to get adopted.
That sounds... And Marianne, as you hear Harper and Hadley and Haley talk about their projects, it's just got a... it kind of fills me up a little bit, too. I'm curious about the process because, when I'm 4th through 8th grade, I wasn't really focused on, you know, solving issues. I was causing issues, not solving issues. How do you approach that? How do you get that out of your participants?
Well, like I think Haley was talking about, we start the year working on computer science concepts and the girls learning how to create apps in the first place. Mm. And then when they form a team, we have them basically, they're running through the same kind of process that a small software company would, or any business would, where they are coming up with an idea and putting a business plan together. And it seems very daunting, like what kind of 4th grader through 8th grader would do this? But the girls actually just thrive because they all, if you talk to kids, you know, they all have issues, whether it's, you know, bullying or whether it's they want to, you know, help animals or they want to, we've had kids do everything from looking at different ways to look at water. We had a group actually that won the Congressional App Challenge that was looking at well contamination over in the Joliet area. So these are problems that the kids see every day and things that they think are bigger problems in their own lives or the things that affect their friends, like, you know, people that are having issues buying clothing or getting food. Some of those things always kind of come up, but they're able to take their knowledge that they've learned about how to create an app and then translate that into actually solving a problem. And for the most part, you know, these apps are prototype apps, and they're not going to be end up being developed fully because the process is frankly just way too much for our organization to manage,
right.
But
yeah.
They do get the whole thrill of using technology to solve a problem that they care about. And that problem-solving skills that they learn during this in time makes it transferable to other things. So, like, once you've solved a problem about adopting animals, then you can move on to solve some other problems. But it really gives them this confidence and power to go on and do more. And that's what's been really exciting. We had some girls do a project where they were looking at missing and indigenous girls. And that was a huge app that they did and did a fabulous job with it. And then, again, our advanced girls 2 years ago did an app for the Kalispell Police Department, which we actually did take and roll out because we worked with another company that did that. But, that's a real-world problem that they were actually really able to solve because they have this knowledge and they have the ability to take issues and then create solutions.
Yeah, and a level of maturity that exceeds anything here in this room, I'll tell you that. That's that's really remarkable, those kinds of things. And building apps or building robots, right? STEM empowerment, the science and the technology educations, curriculum, I should say. What we're focusing on here today, Code Girls United, coding their futures, codegirlsunited.org. And it's Marianne Smith with us, executive director, co-founder of that program back in 2016. Harper and Hadley Merriman, they're from Kalispell Sisters. And then Haley Wiesenhunt is from Billings and a junior leader for several years in the program. But later on, we will be looking at robotics as well. There is a Montana Robotics Alliance, and there's some programs for youngsters as well to get into robotics. So Dr. Laura Beth Everts from MSU will be joining us here in just a little bit. Marianne, again, thank you guys for being here. Appreciate that. Tell us more about this program. All right, we got a new school year starting. Do people sign up for classes now? What's the registration like? And then we've got this great fish fundraising initiative to talk about.
Yeah. So for registration, you can go to our website, codegirlsunited.org, and you can register for programs, after-school programs all around the state. I think we've talked before, we're pretty big in Billings and Helena and Great Falls and in the Flathead Valley and beyond that into Browning and then down in the Ronan area. We have some programs. So you could just take a look at our website and register. And we're really happy to get girls interested in the program and get them interested in using technology to solve problems and be creators. So that's our big push. Additionally, we've had summer camps. That's where actually Hadley had taken a summer camp this past year. And we do our regular Coding Groovy Unicorn summer camps. And then we also had a cybersecurity camp. We have an advanced program in the fall, which is invitation only. We're also going to be starting our AI Academy pretty soon.
Wow.
And we'll also be doing AI training for nonprofits and small businesses in the Kalispell area and the Billings area. So we've got a lot going on. To say the least.
That sounds super cool, AI Academy. So, and I've noted that too. Programs are expanding. Let me ask this question, and then also, there's two questions here. But are they after school programs? Are they once a week or twice a week? Is there a cost? Give it into some of those logistics. And then, if there's a school out there that wants to, be united with your Code Girls, how do they do that?
Well, what they can do is contact Jessica Johnston, and that's J.Johnston, J-O-H-N-S-T-O-N, at codegirlsunited.org, if there's a school that's interested. So far, we have been able, with the kind donations and foundation grants, been able to keep all of our programs free throughout the state, and that's really a big goal for us is to keep what we're doing free for the kids that are participating. So one of the ways that we're able to do that is through the Whitefish Community Foundation's Great Fish Community Challenge. And that's happening right now until September 12th. Again, there's information on our website. We would really appreciate folks out there that are listening to donate. We get a matching, there's a matching component up to $25,000. So the more folks that can help donate and help keep our programs free and help really just keep us growing and continue to move outside of the locations that we're already at, which is a lot around Montana. So we would love to come into more schools and to bring our programs into more after-school programs, partnering, you know, with United Way, with the Starbase program in Great Falls and Helena. And we'd really love to continue doing that. So if folks can out there can just please donate, we would love to have some participation from people.
Yeah. Haley, what would you say? I mean, I have you ever encouraged a friend to come join the program? What do you tell, you know, friends and colleagues about what you're doing?
Well, I think it's just really a great experience overall. And then from competition, you can actually win scholarships to that you can use for college to, like, further your education in computer science. And so I have asked my friend Osa to join the first year I did it, and she is now a junior leader like me, and we've been on the same team for 2 years, and I think we both really enjoy it.
That's cool. That's really cool to hear. Harper, what would you say to a friend who you're trying to get to come to Code Girls United? What would you tell them is really fun about that?
I'd say it's a really fun experience. You get to learn so many things and meet so many new people.
Have you ever asked a friend to come join you?
I haven't, actually.
Oh, well, there you go. Now's the year to do it. And Hadley, what about you? What do you say? You know, or what's something that you learned from Code Girls United that might surprise you?
Well, what I would say is that it's a fun experience, and it's something that you can learn later. I mean, it's something that you can use later on in life.
Yeah. Yeah, very valuable in that regard. Marianne, I got like 20 seconds. Go ahead and wrap it up for us. I'll give you your it's coldgirlsunited.org. Thank you for doing this. What are your final thoughts?
Yeah, I'd just like to encourage girls to sign up and encourage parents to get their girls to, instead of just taking pictures with their phones, learn how to actually create something with their phones and do things like making public presentations, which is something that even most adults don't feel comfortable doing. So learning that when you're young.
I'm running out of time here. We will talk to you guys down the road, though, that's for sure. New school year. Lots of excitement there. Hope there's a lot of inspiration about it. I know there's some anxiety, too, but that usually passes in the first week or so, and then it's all back to normal. So good luck to you in your school year. I hope you are inspired about things. We're talking today about the inspiration of STEM education and also you know, getting Montana's youngsters involved early. It was really good to talk with Marianne Smith and, of course, the H's, Harper, Hadley, and Haley, too, about what they're doing with Code Girls United. We're moving on now because Montana robotics is exploding across the state, too. And there are now, I think, about 100 robotics teams that are part of this tech challenge. And we're talking more about that. Really blank slate here because I know very little about it. So got a number of guests. Let's introduce them here. Dr. Laura Beth Everts is an associate professor from Montana State Bozeman College of Engineering and leads the first Lego League delivery program. Am I saying that right, Laura Beth?
Yes, you got it right. We like to abbreviate it and just say FLL.
There you go.
Much of a tongue twister.
Yeah. The first Lego League. That's really good. And Dr. Everts, again, from MSU Bozeman College of Engineering. Rob Reynolds, Eureka Public Schools, technology learning coach there. Good morning, Rob. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Tom. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, I've been involved in both the FLL program. That's how we got started, and then it transitions to the FTC, which stands for First Tech Challenge. And then we also, in combination with that, have an FRC, which is the original First Robotics Challenge that was started by Dean Kamen.
You also have a student who's with us here, Gwen Butts. Good morning, Gwen.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. Tell us about yourself. Tell us about why you're in this robotics program.
I started it last year. This will be my second year in FLL. And I decided to join because I previously, before coming to Eureka, had gone to a very tech-oriented school, and I thought of robotics as a way to build on my knowledge.
Yeah. It is that, too. So I'm curious as to what you're building. And Sam Rohan Smith is from Missoula, goes to Missoula Sentinel, also with us here. Good morning, Sam. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing good. How are you?
Hanging in there. Tell us about why you're in this program.
Well, when I was younger, I did a camp, and I think it's still around in Missoula, but it was Camp Invention. And then when I got to high school, I was told about the robotics team that we had, and it seemed really interesting. It seemed like a great opportunity to kind of get back into that engineering and that STEM stuff. So then I joined back there my freshman year.
Very nice. Let's go to Dr. Laura Beth Everts. What is this program that these kids are a part of?
Yeah, so FIRST stands for Inspiration and Recognition in Science and Technology, and it's really more than just robots. The teams do build a robot for their competition. They have a challenge each year, but they also have a community project where they're solving a problem to help address a need in the community, and they sit in front of a panel of judges, so there's teamwork, communication, as well as the technological side of the competition. And throughout the state, for the younger level, that's the FIRST LEGO League, we host four qualifiers throughout the state, and then the top teams from those advance to the championship that's hosted at Montana State University. And this is actually the 20th year that we've hosted it in Montana. So we're pretty excited about that.
Yeah, and I've known about it, but is the program getting a lot more traction nowadays? I remember seeing some TV shows, they do these robotic fights, right? I'm not sure that is exactly what it is that you guys are doing. Maybe it is, but do we see more recognition? And is there an advancement in robotics understanding amongst the public?
Yeah, so the program has grown. We used to just have the one tournament in Bozeman. But like I said, we now have four qualifiers throughout the state. Mm-hmm. And for the younger teams, the FLL, First LEGO League, we have about 100 teams throughout the state. And then for First Tech Challenge, which is for 7th through 12th grade, there's around 36 teams throughout the state. And then First Robotics Competition has 3 teams throughout the state. So it is growing. And I think more people, just as technology advances, more people are becoming familiar with the robotics terms and seeing the importance. 81% of our alumni from FIRST end up going into the STEM field, and 48% of those females end up pursuing a engineering or computer science degree. So it's really valuable for the students. It's lifelong experience that they take with them after school.
Yeah, and that's impressively effective, really, those numbers, 81%, and then over 40% pursuing those degrees. Rob Reynolds is the technology learning coach at Eureka Public Schools there, a board member of the Montana Robotics Alliance, and it's mtrobotics.org. Rob, talk about, the value from an educator standpoint about these extracurricular activities that give kids a chance to do things that, we have to think outside the box of in a regular school day.
You bet, yeah. So a couple of the things that really brought me to FIRST that were started by, like I said, Dean Kamen and Professor Woody Flowers, who's since passed away at MIT, they coined the phrase gracious professionalism and cooperation. And those two aspects of the first program are huge to me, and I find that the students really enjoy that as well. I mean, what the difference is, you mentioned some of the like BattleBot competitions where people make robots go out and destroy each other. And in the FTC program, the competition has four robots on the field at one time, and two teams are allied with each other, and that's randomly selected throughout the match. And so at one point, you could have an alliance partner you're working with to score as many points, maneuvering elements around the field. And then the next match, those people might be your opponent. And so one of the things you'll see happen at these events in the pit area between matches when teams are working on fine-tuning or repairing their robots is they will go out and they will help each other. They want to compete, right? They want to have this competitive environment and do the best they can, but they always want to do the best they can by going up against someone who's also doing the best they can, and that's where that cooperation comes in. And so it's really amazing to be at an event and see the gracious professionalism that the students have towards each other and how they all work to really learn from each other and do the best they can. Those were two of the main features that really drew me into the program. Like I said, I started with the FLL program. Our school wanted to adopt a STEM program, and I had researched a few, and FLL first program seemed like a good fit for us. And after 2 years of doing that, the students who were involved in it moved on to high school, and they're like, well, we want to go on to the next level. And I really didn't know anything about the robotics, you know, at that level, the programming and the building and mechanical aspects. But they talked me into it, and so it was just kind of learn as you go. But in the end, it's really the students who are, you know, coming up with the solutions to the problems, and I'm sure Sam can talk a lot to that as well.
Sam, go ahead and speak to that. The competition, the colleagues that you have. I mean, give us a sense of what it is that you were building and trying to accomplish, and maybe what you learned in that process.
Yeah. I mean, my last year of robotics, like as in the last year that I was in, I was put as the team captain for our FTC team, and we hadn't had an FTC team in quite a long time. So none of us really knew what we were doing, and our coaches weren't really, like, they were great, and obviously they were learning too, because it has been a long time, things had changed. And it was amazing seeing how well the team worked together and really figured out what is FTC, since we had all knew plenty about FRC, but FTC, we didn't realize how different yet how similar it can be. There is always a great deal, like a great age range with the FTC too. You'll see younger kids, you'll see high schoolers, and it's amazing seeing how it's very heartwarming seeing everyone work together, seeing these older students come and help these younger students who are having a problem, even if they're going to be against them next round, because everyone wants to work together and have fun. So a really big part of it is having fun and meeting great people at competitions.
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest part of it.
Really like that. Gwen, are you having fun? Who are you having fun with? What are you having fun doing?
Well, I am definitely having fun. My team was really, really enthusiastic last year, and we had lots of fun planning out what we were going to do.
What'd you do?
So in FLL, we have to do, there are two different projects, components, basically, that we have to accomplish in order to qualify. And me and my friend were put in charge of the research aspects of it and the coding.
Oh.
I had a really fun time coding because the coding language that we use is called Blockly. It's very simple, very easy to learn, but there's a lot more that you can add on.
Build
on to your knowledge.
Yeah, so you were in the first FLL, and I should just reiterate that. That's the very first Lego League, younger students. You're a middle schooler at Eureka High School, ages 9 through 14. Then the first Tech Challenge, FTC, is for grades 7 through 12. And as Sam was noting, that's quite a spread in that range. And then you also have it in the program here, the first robotics competition. And those are larger teams, intensive engineering challenges as well. Boy, we're learning about all the fun stuff that robotics is, these app challenges as well. Cody Ross, our engineer, is thinking about another job, as a matter of fact. I think he's going, I want to do that stuff. That sounds like, I think everybody kind of wants to build a robot. But, you know, doing the work to build that robot right, it starts at a young age for a lot of people. Welcome back to Voices of Montana. We are talking about Montana Robotics, building that future brick by brick. They are building a future they're going to live in. Dr. Laura Beth Everts is with us, associate professor at MSU Bozeman's College of Engineering, also leads the first Lego League program, that's FLL. And then Rob Reynolds with us too, technology learning coach, FLL and FTC teams from Eureka Public Schools. And then Gwen Butts, middle schooler at Eureka, and Sam Rohan Smith from Missoula Sentinel, and a program participant there. Dr. Laura Beth, we just got like, you know, 3.5 minutes here. This last segment goes real fast. Tell us what we're missing. There's talk, this world competition, it sounds pretty fun. So it's not just Montana. You get a real taste of robotics and competition around the world.
Yeah, so nationally, there's teams in every state, and there's over, there's several teams in 110 countries across the world. So from Montana, our teams move on to a competition called Worlds, where there's teams from all over globally that compete. And then there's other opportunities for teams to leave Montana and compete at premier or open events. So we've had teams leave Montana and go to Edmonton, the Netherlands, California, Florida, Texas, and compete in the various levels of our programs.
Wow. Rob, you talk about those teams. Talk about what that world competition is like.
Yeah, going to Worlds is an amazing event. In fact, I've had the luxury or the honor to escort two different teams. One was a team that I'd worked with the students since they were in the FLL program. They started in fifth grade, did that for 3 years. Then they went to FTC, and there was this one young girl, Sophia Lord, who was just bent on, that was her goal, that to go to Worlds. Mm. And their junior year, they accomplished that, and they ended up getting to go there. And, you know, they talk about events that you participate in being life-changing, and they definitely walked away from that. It's just it's an amazing event to be at, and there's literally hundreds, nearly thousands of students, all like-minded with STEM influence at the three different levels, the FLL, FTC, and FRC competition. They take over the Houston Convention Center there, all four levels of it, and there's stuff going on everywhere, and it's just an amazing event to participate in.
Yeah, that sounds
And then
cool.
Like Dr. Everts said, that they just started this year of offering these premier events that are an additional opportunity for teams who didn't advance to the world event to go to these events as well. So we had teams from all over Montana representing Montana at those events that she mentioned as well.
Super valuable experience. I got a minute left. Gwen Butts, middle schooler, Eureka, Montana. What are some of the things you want to do in life?
Well, I definitely want to go into the STEM field.
Yeah.
I really like coding, and I feel like I can continue to expand on, to build on my knowledge of what I already know. I am currently trying to learn a coding language called Python that is very widely used in many types of like app building and...
Gwen, I'm going to run out of time here. I got to ask, thank you for that, and good luck, and I appreciate that. And Sam Rohan Smith, what do you want to do?
I'm hoping to major in aviation in a couple of years and then become a pilot, whether commercial or private.
Well, I'm on board with you on that one. Thank you, Sam. Appreciate that. Gwen as well, Dr. Laura Beth Everts, and Rob Reynolds. Thank you guys for being on. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.